Hello, hello, hello.
What's up? What's up?
Welcome to The Plot Strikes Back. Bum, bum, bum. We are here today talking about what was supposed to be Hugh Jackman's final movie as Wolverine. Hanging
Thank God
up
it
the
wasn't.
Claws. Yeah, I'm obviously glad he's back for Deadpool 3, but just to think for 7 years...
At the time,
we were like, man, this is it.
What a way to go out.
Definitely. And
but sad, nonetheless.
Yeah, it was a seemingly end to an era.
Yeah, because he was Wolverine for how many years
to
that point?
20 years almost, I think. Something.
Holy.
Yeah.
Late 90s. When did the first X-Men come out?
2000, I want to say. So not 20 years, but...
Damn near close.
He was in a number of movies, that's for sure. I remember reading somewhere, again, by someone writing an article saying that of all the characters, or rather, of all the actors portraying a character, Hugh Jackman was at the top of the list, which is very interesting when, and I think this is just a lot of credit that goes to Hugh Jackman, where a lot of actors will complain about, oh, I don't want to get typecasted. Oh, I'm tired of playing this kid. It's like all I hear is a lot of yapping.
Yeah.
And you sounding ungrateful.
For your millions of dollars.
Right. You're getting millions of dollars doing something that people actually might enjoy, seeing you portray some character.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, obviously Hugh said it is grueling to get into the Wolverine physique because he's got to lift a ton. He's got to eat a certain way. He's basically got to become a bodybuilder, And, obviously you and I work out, 4 or 5 days a week. We try to eat as clean as we possibly can. But but there again, actors get paid to do that. Like that is their job. You know, it's like if we didn't have to work our day jobs and do anything else, if we were just like, hey, look, your job right now is just to get into this physique. That's it. You eat, you work out, and that's it. And then once you've hit that physique, now we'll start filming. And obviously we've seen how Hugh Jackman will have dumbbells on set and he'll be, lifting between takes.
Kind of pump up, dude.
Yeah, a number of actors have had to do that. Henry Cavill, Dwayne Johnson, number of people, right? Anyone that's Jason Momoa, I think even Josh Brolin did it when he got jacked for Cable.
Yeah,
in Deadpool 2. So it's just part of the gig. But for Hugh Jackman to have basically done that since the beginning, and then obviously over time you can see his physique change. Yeah, I think it was... not the Wolverine that Deadpool 2 retconned, but the Wolverine that he goes to Japan in.
Yeah.
When he, I remember seeing his physique in that movie and...
Oh, dude, he was shredded in that movie.
He was super shredded. And that was like, he's never looked this jacked in his entire career. But even for this movie, for Logan, having to look older and washed up,
but still
be pretty jacked.
It's just he's not as shredded.
Yeah, and obviously he needs to act like he's slower, and just fatigued because he's being poisoned. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's like if Hugh Jackman could do it, and then look through his whole career. He did other things throughout his career too. He didn't just do Wolverine. I mean, He was in The Prestige, which is one of my favorite Christopher Nolan movies. He's done a bunch of other things as well. So it's like,
well, there was also that period of time. What's the musical?
The Greatest Showman.
No, before that, the French one.
Oh yeah,
he filmed that like directly after Wolverine or something, or right before it, and it caused for like one of those drastic physique changes.
Yeah.
Which Chris Hemsworth did too.
Yeah.
Between Thor 1 and 2, he did that whale Moby Dick one.
Yes. I remember that.
But But yeah, so in that one, Wolverine, I think, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he goes to Japan.
Yeah.
He basically had to prepare like he was going to a bodybuilding show for like a week.
Yeah.
To filming those scenes, which is just crazy because like it just shows the commitment to just being that character.
Yeah.
For that long.
And I think he proved that it can be done. Like you could portray a character for a number of years within a universe, a cinematic universe that is, and then still do other things. And I do think Chris Hemsworth has done a pretty decent job at it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I think some of his other movies, maybe not super successful, but
those Netflix ones.
Extraction 1 and 2, Extraction. I think were
never
great.
Saw the second one.
Second one was definitely.
But I love Sam.
Really good.
Sam Hargrave.
Yeah, and then
He did the Formula.
He did the race car movie.
Yep.
I'm forgetting the whole name, but the hotel.
Hotel. Oh, Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yes.
Wow, it's a great movie.
Yes.
And then he's in
the Dick movie.
He's in Furiosa, baby.
Furiosa
Can't
now.
Wait.
I know I'm
Men in Black.
Yeah, Men in Black 4.
Ooh.
Again, it was not good, you know. Yeah. Just
but I would say Thor and Extraction are his
highlights for sure. Yeah. Yep. I think that's kind of fits his persona. That meshes with who he is. So it's like he could be, kind of like the modern day action star.
Yeah.
You know, so, which I think we need more of. I really think we need to bring those types of movies back. We don't have enough of them.
You know, what's crazy is I think Dave Patel said that at his,
really?
At his movie screening the other night. He's like, I wanted to bring a refreshing take to action because it's been so blah, 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 whatever he said. But
yeah.
I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
It's like you look at...
Look at Predator. That's an action movie, man.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you look at all the 80s action movies, and it's like, we don't really have a ton of those right now.
You get a good one every year or two, like, you know, John Wick and then...
Right, exactly. I think John Wick is probably the closest thing. Yeah, Mad Max and...
But that's...
But we're not used to getting them all the time.
What are those... I mean, the Bourne ones, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
People like.
Oh, yeah. But that was 20 years ago as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, early 2000s. So, but.
That's a good point.
But, yeah. So this movie came out in, about almost a year ago now. Or a year ago. Wow. 7 years ago now. 2017. Yeah. Directed by James Mangold. Obviously, it has some great actors in it. You know, with Hugh Jackman, Sir Patrick Stewart playing Professor X, Daphne Keene.
That's her name.
Which was, I believe this is her first movie.
I think she was on the show His Dark Materials.
Yes, that was afterwards.
But I won't say after, because this was...
That movie, that show was...
I don't know anything about it.
We watched all three seasons, but... I remember at one point reading that there wasn't going to be a season 3, and then there was a season 3, and then it was done after that, and it was sort of a letdown.
Huh.
I enjoyed the first season. James McAvoy was in it. Not like as a main character. He was more of a supporting character, but... and then Boyd Holbrook is in it. He kind of played the, I guess, antagonist, quote-unquote villain. Which I found something interesting about his character.
Wasn't he based off someone else?
He was based off of a Marvel character from the comics. But it's interesting just to kind of see. And this is, you know, looking back at it now, because it's been a few years since I watched this movie, probably 3 or 4 years. Because I remember the last time I watched it, I watched it after I got the Noir version on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
and watched it in that aspect, but it was interesting because of how much has changed. Obviously, with the Disney acquiring the Fox rights, and then understanding kind of what they had at the time to use for story or characters and so forth. But And I know that was one of the things that we always kind of thought about with the old X-Men movies was just how things were just different, you know. And I can't think of the director who did the first couple X-Men movies. It's gonna annoy me.
Oh, actually, this may be the order. Bryan Singer did the first one.
Bryan Singer. Yes.
And then I think this is the order it goes. You were right, though. There's a Josh Boone, Simon Kinberg, Matthew Vaughn, Brett Ratner, Gavin Hood, and then James Mangold.
I think it was Bryan. Yeah, so the Bryan Singer X-Men.
He did a few, actually. He did X-Men, X2, X-Men Apocalypse, and Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And Unusual Suspects.
Yeah, I remember.
And Superman Returns.
I remember I remember he did a lot
X-Men.
But, and obviously, the third X-Men movie was.
I liked it.
Oh, but it was so bad, though. X2,
was it?
Yeah, dude. Was go it? Back and watch it.
It was?
Yeah.
I thought Beast was cool.
Don't get me wrong. There was some cool inclusions, like the fact that he added like Angel, but you know, it was just, you know, the regular version of Angel. We didn't get to see Archangel, and it's like, we're gonna make plastic weapons to shoot all the mutants with,
yeah,
and then Phoenix, and then we basically see Phoenix.
I never saw Phoenix. Oh, you're still talking about
X3.
X3, sorry,
dude, that movie was terrible. Don't watch it. I don't recommend anyone watching that movie with Sophia
Turner?
Turner.
Yeah.
From Game of Thrones. Just don't watch it. Save your time, please. Apocalypse wasn't that bad, but it still wasn't great. Like, I still think the best X-Men movies, and not including Wolverine, obviously, like standalone stuff, but I definitely think the first and second X-Men movies were the best. The one that kicked it all off, and X2 was the best because we got Colossus, we got Bobby Drake, we got Pyro, we got Kitty Pryde,
there was a lot going on in X2. I can't remember that though.
Well, we got
that's the one where the house is attacked, or is that the third one?
No, that's the second one.
And then they form the ice wall.
And we got a version of Lady Deathstrike, but like Wolverine was like, I don't know who you are, and it's like, it's Yoriko, like you were in love with her from Japan, like. That was the kind of stuff like in those movies with Bryan Singer. And I'm like, why are you not including this stuff, bro? And it's like, if you think about it, you know, I know we complain I don't want to use the word complain. We criticize how these movies in Marvel are made today about leaving out stuff. Like, we want to change things. And it's like, but just because you change something doesn't mean we're going to like it or it's going to be good.
Better.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not like you left parts out of a book from the source material. Like, no, like you changed the entire thing aside from like who the characters are and who their mutant powers are. You know what I mean? Like I ragged so much on Cyclops from the movies because he's like a little wuss.
Yeah, he is a wuss.
And in the comics, Cyclops was a badass at times.
Yeah.
You know, like he and obviously, you know, Wolverine had their struggles, their moments against each other. You know, they bumped heads. But there were parts where like Wolverine was like, and that's why you're the leader. Like Wolverine's going to fight with you sometimes, be like, but that's why you lead the X-Men. Like that's also the credit. Like he knows and has that respect. But in the movie, he's just like, I'm going to steal your girl. And like, you don't even remember in the third X-Men movie.
He dies.
Yeah, but you don't even see. You can see his glasses just kind of sitting there like
those little so
sunglasses. And like, Professor X gets incinerated, like, you know, vaporized in the house and by Phoenix. But the same thing where Wolverine has to, you know, with Hugh Jackman, stab Phoenix in the stomach. But the only thing that doesn't get incinerated, because his skin's like burning off, it's regenerating. But them genes, though,
wow,
stay on. And I'm like, y'all didn't think about that?
Should have ripped him off. Just had like the shards.
Just show it.
Like
What they could have done was, again, it's just all about perspective. What they could have done was showing his genes start to incinerate, light on fire, right?
Yeah.
You set the idea that, okay, his clothing is being burned away, but then you don't, but then you don't show any angles where like, oh, it's Hugh Jackman completely naked.
Yeah.
Because then the movie would have to be a rated R, and that's not what you're going for. So then just shoot waist up.
Waist up. Call it a day.
That's easy. And then don't, you know, show anything else and kind of just fade to black, go to the next scene. Like, they could have done it, but again, that's the funny, cheesy parts of movies, of these movies, you know.
I will say, out of all of the Hugh Jackman cameos that he did in all the other X-Men movies, where he just...
The first one's the best.
Is that the one where he's in the bar?
Yeah, he flicks him off, I think.
Yeah.
When the young Magneto and Charles Xavier go to seek help.
Yep.
Yep.
And the Weapon X one in, I forget, is that Days of Future Past?
Days of Future Past, he's in it a lot, though. He's not a cameo.
Okay, then no. It would have been Apocalypse.
Yes, Apocalypse.
No. Was it? Maybe it was, because Apocalypse had a young Storm in it.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it was.
I think Apocalypse. That was it, because...
I only ever saw that movie once, to be honest, because I didn't really enjoy it.
I only saw it once, but I remember that scene, because that's the only thing I was looking forward to. And it's like, they're in the lab, right? I think it's a young Jean Grey. Goes, oh, I feel something. Someone's in pain. Oh,
oh yeah.
And they open this cage, and it's just Weapon X Wolverine, and it proceeds to go on like a 30-second killing streak, and then he just escapes.
Yeah.
And it's the coolest part of the movie, and that's it.
I liked Days of Future Past, though.
That's one where he goes back in time.
Yeah, he's got bone claws.
That one was good, because that one had the Sentinels.
The Sentinels were like completely overpowered.
Yeah, they were.
Wiping them out, and
Peter Dinklage.
Yep.
That's his name.
Yep.
That one was good.
Yeah, obviously, I wouldn't mind going over that movie, because I've got my pet peeves about it, but I think, same thing, I believe Bryan Singer did that one, so like he kind of kept his continuity involved, which
made
sense. It's sort of like, you know, if you've got a Star Wars trilogy that you know that J.J. Abrams says, no, I'm going to do the first and the last. We just need someone to do the middle. And here's what I'm thinking. So you kind of fit within my sandwich. I'm going to have an ice cream sandwich. I'm going to be the chocolate part. You fill in with the ice cream, but you know it has to taste good when you bite into it.
Mm.
Can't be a wild mess there. Ruin Johnson. Anyway, I was going to throw some shade, but... So with Logan, it's a 2-hour, 20-minute film. Obviously, you subtract about like 5 minutes of credits at the end. So, which I liked about the beginning, like there's not a lot of dead time in the beginning of the movie. Like the movie starts within like a minute.
It gets you in, and it gets you in hot and bloody.
Yeah. I'll just quickly go over the budget. So it's a $97 million budget, but obviously, it made $619.2 million as a rated R film. Knowing that it was Hugh Jackman's last...
Hurrah.
Yeah, his last ride with the claws, and that it's like we're finally getting a Wolverine movie that's rated R, because we know it's going to be violent. It's going to be gory. It's going to be brutal. Yeah.
And you got that in the first scene.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things I loved, and it was on my likes, where it's just the opening part, and he's like, you know, we've got some, as he calls them, cholos. that are trying to steal from him. He's like, buddy, that's not a good idea. But I like the way the tone and the precedence is set from the beginning of the movie. Like you're like, yeah, get him, Logan. You're like, the claws are just slowly. One of them gets stuck.
Yeah, and he's gotta like pull it out.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But then he gets pissed, and he's like, all right, now I'm angry. Like, and then he just completely.
He gets shot.
He gets shot.
Right.
Yeah. He gets shot a couple times.
Buckshot,
and he gets hit, and a couple other bullets, but, you know, he cuts off a couple limbs, and again, you see from the get-go, there's just a lot of, it's going to be that type of movie, but you can see him, he goes in the bathroom, and he's like, the bullets are like slowly coming out of him, and obviously the premise is the very thing that made him who he is has been poisoning him his entire life. And that was the same thing that happened in the comics, was his adamantium killing him. And even though, yes, he was the type of person or had that mutant ability that could regenerate, you know, his healing factor, couldn't keep up.
Yeah, but also when your entire
skeletal
is, you know, structure is this material that's killing you, it's tough to regenerate.
It's like, thinking how many ounces of adamantium did they inject into him and then go, that's going to weigh a lot.
Yeah, I wonder how much he weighed.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
He was a short little guy.
Yeah, comics. But even then, though, I think it was 5'3", 5'4", in the comics. But you think, I'm spitballing a number because I don't remember at the top of my head, but, you know, I want to say he was probably several hundred pounds, you know?
You'd have to think 4 or 5.
Maybe. Yeah. But it's for a dude that weighs, and obviously he was extremely agile and, you know, if you can fight the Hulk and go toe to toe with the Hulk.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, that says something, but that's why they call him Wolverine. But, so one of the interesting things that I thought was just an interesting choice for the movie that this isn't a discredit whatsoever to James Mangold, but Boyd Holbrook's or Holbrook, his character, Donald Pierce, right? So he's a villain. He's actually, they call him a super villain in the comics. And I was watching or reading this top 10 list of super villains in the X-Men
universe.
Yeah. Not obviously not Marvel, but, it was and again, this was just one particular list where Apocalypse was number one. And then I think Cassandra Xavier was two, and then Sinister was three. I forget who else was there, but I'm like, you guys kind of, I feel like they missed some people. No. Juggernaut was not on the list. Sabretooth wasn't on the list.
Huh.
You know, but then they had this guy at number nine on this top 10 list. And the only reason why they had him on this list was because it was like the X-Men version of the Terminator, where he kept coming back again and again and again. And every time he came, he reminded me of
who?
You've seen Archer, right?
Barry.
Every time Barry comes back, he's like more cyborg, more robotic,
and just hell bent on just killing.
Yeah, but that's I almost feel like the writers from Archer might have gotten the idea from Donald Pierce from the X-Men. I could be totally wrong, but that's it'd be like a weird coincidence that's where they kind of got the two together from. But he was very associated with the Reavers in the comics, and he did have direct correlation with Wolverine. So kind of going back, I'm like, that was actually a good selection for a villain. But at the same time, they didn't really his thugs were part of this other made up company. They weren't called the Reavers. They kind of just, it looked like mercenaries for hire, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
And
a ragtag group.
Yeah. And that was kind of one of my dislikes. Was I almost felt the villain could have been better, but at the same time, I think the villain is a little divided, because you've got Pierce, who's associated with this doctor who was behind the whole illegal facility when they're running experiments on kids until they create X-24, which is just the version of Wolverine of Weapon X that is more obedient and only listens to the doctor. He can be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just another created version of Wolverine, because obviously we do see him at some point. They go toe to toe. But the other interesting character was Caliban. He was the albino.
Yeah. At first, I remembered him, but I forgot how I'm not gonna say creepy, but how alien he was from top to bottom, even from how he dressed. You know what I mean?
So something cool, though. I will say something cool about his character about that. Again, I think it could have been a little better, or I think they could have maybe dropped a little bit of an Easter egg. Because I was trying to pay attention to see if there was one that I maybe just missed this entire time. But he was a Morlock.
He was a Morlock.
Yeah. You watch the 97 animated series?
The original one?
Yeah.
I can't remember it.
So the Morlocks were the mutants that hid under in like the sewers.
Oh, which would explain the paleness and...
Yep. But he is an actual Morlock that... His powers were slightly different in the show and, you know, presumably in the comic than in the movie.
Yeah.
But I do think they joke about that. So I'm like, why didn't you just keep it so he could detect, like, where mutants were? But they kind of did that anyway with Professor X, you know, with Charles, that he was able to detect that, oh, I'm communicating. There is a girl, right? And Wolverine just thinks he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think overall, like, they didn't want to include a ton of characters, but I did find it pretty interesting that, like, those were the two that they picked, for like another ally, but also for the villain, I guess. You know, because the movie takes place in 2029, and that there hasn't been a mutant born in 25 years. So there hasn't been a mutant that was born since 2004 in the universe of Logan, which is really interesting, because I think back to, I don't remember if that's when the third X-Men movie came out or what. Again, I'd have to go back and check, but I do think that it might take place in 2004. But if that is the case, then, you know, again, kind of keeping this in the consistency of the Fox, you know, X-Men, then it would be kind of interesting just to kind of think more about that as a timeline.
2006.
That's when the third X-Men movie is set?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So, interesting. I wonder if there's any continuity there that was just a...
Yeah, because it makes me think, like, is this some kind of just Elseworlds story?
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
But I can't remember, like, off the top of my head, but, like, they don't ever explain what happened.
Well, yeah, and I think that was always sort of, like, my one little pet peeve of
That's one of my... Because you can mention it, and just the sheer mention of it could go... We could speculate what the hell happened,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But they don't.
Nope.
But the interesting thing is the X-Men / Wolverine are like the Avengers in this universe. They're in a comic book.
Yeah, that was...
So it's interesting.
That was the other, weird thing that they... I remember even when the movie first came out, I'm like...
I thought it was weird.
Even to this day, I don't know how I feel about it, because... It's like, yeah, if you watched any of the MCU movies and go, hey, look, this comic book exists in this universe, or, you know, same thing. You apply the same aspect of a comic book in any of the DC universe. Or imagine if you're watching Star Wars and they're like, hey, there's a Star Wars book in the Star Wars movie. It'd be like, that's a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
And
it's completely unnecessary.
Yeah, and kinda. So I think that even still to this day, that's one of my dislikes about the movie, because I feel like it's too easy to write in, and I don't think it expands on creativity. You know, like, especially when they're in I was at Oklahoma or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and Logan is reading the comic, and at the end of the comic, it says like Eden on it, and there's the coordinates that's in the comic, and then he looks on the envelope that had the cash on it, and it's the same coordinates, and he's like, it's all made up, it's all fake, it's a lie, you know.
Pissed.
Yeah, and then so I'm like, okay, so then why even include it in the... And then the funny thing is it kind of ends up quote unquote being true-ish.
Ish.
You know, it's like, it's not so much Eden, it's not paradise, but it's just like a meeting point. And then they go into
Canada, I think. Yeah.
Which, you know, Wolverine is Canadian. So it's sort of like, hey, why didn't you think that that would be real? Because you are Canadian.
Yeah.
You know, so, and like, he's got this whole thing that they're going to go on a boat, you know, on like a yacht or something like
yep.
that. Like, he's trying to buy it for like 50 grand, you know. Interesting, I guess, but. And I think the other sad part is that Wolverine is reduced to, you know, just a limo driver.
Yeah.
And kind of, and he's obviously an alcoholic, you know, when Pierce gets in the back of the limo and he's like, man, Wolverine's a junkie. Who'd have thunk?
It really adds more to like, what the hell happened?
Right. And,
because obviously something happened to where Wolverine and Professor X had to go on the run and hide, basically. And now they're just like, they're withering away until, you know, X-23.
Yeah. Like, you don't see, it's not like the Sentinels won't wipe them out. Like, you know, you don't really hear about how any other mutants died.
You could have done one simple thing. They're in the middle of the desert, have a dusty sentinel head just laying there. And be like, is that how, you know what I mean? Just something.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
I think this is a pure coincidence, and I don't think that it means anything, obviously, because of the separation of the universes. But there's a part in the, you know, beginning part of the movie that Wolverine, or, you know, Logan is sitting, or sorry, he's standing at, and it's a shot from it's, you know, it's raining there in the cemetery, and there's a tombstone that says Rogers on it, but I don't think it's actually like Steve Rogers.
What if it was, though?
Again, that's why I'm like, is it a coincidence? Is it just sort of like this weird Easter egg?
All we need is an S. Rogers, enough to get the juices flowing.
It was like a regular, you know, gravestone, so it wasn't like it was something that was more
monumental, maybe.
Yeah, you know, it was just like your standard type of tombstone. I do think the name choice, again, I think it could have just been a pure Easter egg to be like, hey, it's 2029, a lot of heroes are gone, including Steve Rogers, including other mutants, you know, yeah, something like that. Like, but again, they don't really kind of go into it. And there's some mentioning of when Hugh says, he says something about when they lost a bunch of people.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
But it's not like, again, it's so,
it's just loose.
It's so subtle and ambiguous. And it's not the type of like ambiguity that like makes you think, or like, again, we can speculate on and talk about on a podcast like this. It's just like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
You know? Because obviously, again, for the fact that only Wolverine and Professor X and somehow they meet a Morlock along the way. It's so weird.
It had to have been some kind of, and I'm going to say it, some kind of Infinity War-esque event that wiped them all out over the last 20 odd years.
I mean, it would have made sense to be like, yeah, this was the, you know, disease that wiped off.
It only affected mutants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would make sense too.
Yeah, anyone with the X gene got wiped out, or, you know, it stopped a lot of them. But I think the caveat here is that you've got this facility that is, you know, creating kids that have mutant abilities. So mm-hmm. they're, you know, again, I do appreciate the fact that they showed it in the limousine, and then they showed it like in the DNA sheet where it says, you know, James Howlett. So like, yes, you included Wolverine's birth name, you know, and that's where you learn that Laura, aka X-23, yes, is his biological father, literally his biological father. But, and I've always loved X-23. I mean, I've got a signed poster of Adam Kubert's artwork from the all new Wolverine comic run that came out several years ago. And, you know, another poster on my wall. I know people can't see it, but
it's pretty cool.
MegaCon stuff. And, but I liked how the legacy of Wolverine continued on and their interactions. And, you know, there's Wolverine has a son too named Dakin, which, I like Laura over Dakin, cause Dakin's like a bit of a hothead.
Mm.
He's like power hungry. I don't like that. It's almost like too anti-hero villainy, but not quite anti-hero. Cause you're like, you want it for power, not for like helping people, which is what
a villain does.
Yeah. Like, you know, so, but
cool name though.
Yeah. No, I mean, he is cool. He's a cool character. Overall, but and I always wondered if we'd ever see him on screen, and because it was like someone needs to replace Hugh Jackman. No, you don't. Just include the other characters like X-23, like or like Dakin. Bring in the other son and daughter from Wolverine. Like, just stop.
Hugh Jackman is Wolverine.
Stop trying to reboot characters. Yeah, let him be Wolverine until the end of time.
Just like RDJ is Iron Man until the end of time, you know.
Yeah, just like
keep it canon.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. It's like obviously they try to do the whole Jane as Thor.
Backfired sure, almost instantly.
Didn't quite work out that well, did it? Yeah.
Unfortunately not, but and, like what are you gonna do?
You know, it's like I kind of feel like we might get the same thing with we've already kind of gotten the same thing with the number of massive rewrites with Captain America. So, yeah, won't really touch that right now because obviously it's jumping over the place.
I just wish you all could see the disappointment on my face.
The Sir Pat Stew facepalm.
Yes.
GIF.
GIF.
GIF. GIF. Tomato, tomato. So a couple of my likes that were just awesome parts in the movie was when you see Laura, she's sitting at the table when they're trying to move in at her, and she's like, all right, I'm not going to be able to eat my cereal here. I got to kill these dudes. And then you don't see it, but you hear some stuff. You hear some commotion, and then you just see her walking out with a head, and she just throws it. And I was like,
whoa, damn.
I mean, then obviously she goes on a huge, killing spree. And then you see Wolverine, you have Logan.
Is...
Oh dude. I mean, it's amazing to see both of them kind of just tear it up, the whole father daughter, combination there. But, you know, and I guess it was kind of cool to see that they tried to bring back a Weapon X facility, but at the same time, you know, they called it something different. I didn't even really care to write it down. It was something like with a T, you know, but, it obviously like they did get some things right with how and where Laura Kinney / X-23 was created, I guess is the right terminology. But I mean, I have a couple other likes in the movie, but what have you got?
One I really liked was Professor X's seizures.
Oh yeah,
dude, were gnarly, because he's literally the most, and you can probably attest to this, but the most powerful mutant.
I mean, he's an omega level mutant, and that's one of the things that were like people. Why I would love to see a proper version, and I think this could be done. Because like you think about, and I think they definitely need to kind of put a pause on the Avengers type movies, you know, and we need proper X-Men movies for a number of years and for a number of reasons. Number one is what we saw a very aged Professor X do in Logan, where he could have killed every single person that was affected by that. Everyone. And that's just him at an old age. I mean, if you think back to like the old movies where he'd make everyone just freeze, and he'd be like, no, I'm going to talk to you, Mystique. He did it in the Days of Future Past where she's at like the airport.
Instantly.
It's just, they're stuck in time. And he's like, Mystique, we need to talk. And whatever he says. And
it's just wild.
He could have been like, nope, y'all dead.
Wiped them all out.
And the other reason that we need to see this, and again, it will be super brutal. And I think if you're going to try and actually retire Wolverine or Hugh Jackman, but again, it's like, it's not going to technically work because of him being old, and they might just be like, you know, hey, this is old man Logan being Hugh Jackman, which I think he could still do and make money on. And he wouldn't have to get so shredded because he would just be in jeans and a leather jacket and just kind of dye your hair white.
Just get jacked.
Yeah, he can still look beefy, but I would love to see Onslaught, which is by far, I think, probably still the greatest threat in Marvel Comics, aside from Thanos. Because Onslaught was created by Professor X and Magneto.
Oh, shit.
Because when Magneto ripped the adamantium from Wolverine and basically, you know, killed him with an inch of his life, if it wasn't for Jean Grey holding his body together. And then I think he also destroyed Cable, like his whole half of his, you know, cybernetic body.
His arm and stuff.
His head, arm, whatever, was like, you know, crushed. That's when Professor X was like, all right, Magnus, enough. Boom, hit his mind. And then all of a sudden it's like, Onslaught's created. I'm dumbing it down a lot, but then Onslaught became this super huge being that was immeasurably powerful that like no one could stop it. And it didn't just require X-Men to fight it because if I remember correctly, it required all the heroes from Marvel, like the Avengers, Fantastic Four.
Interesting.
Like, there's a part where in the comics that Hulk, you know, he's angry, obviously, but he tries to punch Onslaught, and he punches Onslaught so hard that it knocks the Earth off its axis, which is just like, how do you knock gravity off of its axis? And then it separated Bruce Banner from Hulk. There's two bodies laying next to each other out cold. And then the only way to really kind of defeat Onslaught, this is a huge spoiler, you know, but whatever. Yes. Onslaught just looks so freaking awesome.
Jeez, dude.
But the only way to defeat him was basically everyone who was not a mutant had to sacrifice their life and like going into the presence, the anima of Onslaught, like go into his being as like a whole.
What?
Yeah, like he's a lot bigger in the comics, or like one version of him. I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but they essentially have to sacrifice their lives, and doing so it sort of like reverts everything that's happened, and then like everyone that potentially sacrificed their life they do come back. But it's like, that just shows you the power of what
you had to do to,
yeah, like the lengths that the heroes had to do to restore literally balance, but also what Professor X could do with his mind, you know, which is just that's wild. Kind of,
yeah, dude, that is.
And I think that's what we see a glimpse of that, which again, I have it in my notes here, where like it was one of the coolest parts of seeing early in the movie where he has like a little bit of a tough time when they're trying to, or Logan's trying to help him, but then when it happens big time
in the hotel,
and like Logan is literally like using his claws into the casino hotel walls
to like walk,
and then forward. As he's going through, he's killing like all the mercs, you know, and
it's just crazy.
Oh god, yeah. And like even the only other person that could move was Laura. You know, she's like crawling on the floor. She like hands him like the syringe, you know, but it's like, they're all screwed, you know, and it was just awesome to see that. And like, I love the effect, because it's not like it's slow motion. It's like this, like,
it's like a
stuttery rumble. Yeah.
It's, yeah. And it makes you think, were they experiencing that too? Or were they like just frozen?
I want to say like, it looked like they were aware. Cause I think
they could, like,
the scenes, like their eyes, like, were like looking still, but they couldn't do anything. Like, they weren't completely frozen. Like he normally would do. And like, people wouldn't be aware of it. It's like, they're like, what's happening? Like, am I being frozen? But also I can't move, but like things, but like I'm in immense pain right now.
But also there's a man with claws coming right towards me. What is happening?
Oh my God, I'm dead. Yeah. Kind of wild, but
yeah, that was definitely one of my likes. And then just the brutalness of the whole thing.
Yeah. There's a funny part too, where they go into the like gas station, and Laura's trying to walk out with some chips and sunglasses, right? And he's like, we don't do that. And he's like, oh, also, do you have cell phone chargers? And he's like, yeah, he points to him. And so even though he tells Laura to not steal the drink and the chips or whatever and the glasses, he ends up stealing the cell phone charger anyway. I mean, it's like, yeah, sorry. I'm going to.
Like my dad probably still says, I think, do as I say, not as I do.
Yep.
Yeah, whatever.
It's an old adage, but yeah. I think another great part, obviously, has a lot of fighting in it, is when it's that moment when Logan first sees X-24. Like, it was obviously, really crappy when they've already located the house at night.
Yep.
And then you just see like this, like, that's not Logan. And then he just, stabs him in the chest.
Right in the chest.
Yeah. Right as he was getting back from helping the dude out with the water pipe and getting them hillbillies off his back, which, yeah, they got a good whooping, by X-24. Which was also super brutal. And the one guy is like, I'm in charge around here. And he's just like, literally like decapitates him.
Dude, he was brutal.
Head gone. Yeah.
Clean.
Yeah, he was. And again, that's where, like, if you want to talk about a Wolverine that was completely unhinged, that did not care about holding back or, and, obviously just, they're being dicks for no reason other than probably race. But it's like, obviously you saw the difference where, like, Hugh Jackman's like, I'm going to take your shotgun, break it in half, get the hell out of here. Whereas X-24 is like, nah, you're dead.
You're all going to die.
You're all dead. Yeah.
Dude, it was so brutal.
Yeah. There's a part though, that comes after that I think was obviously very, touching. It was just, it added
sad.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's like, for a movie that is violent and gory, to have this moment where Wolverine has buried Charles Xavier, who was like, obviously his mentor, like a father figure to him.
Well, his friend, probably.
His friend, yeah, definitely. Just like, yeah, it's by the water, it says, some words, and yeah, obviously you can see he's getting a little choked up about it. And then Laura just comes up to him and like holds his wrist. And I was like, oh man, it's like the father daughter moment right there.
Yep.
And then he kind of just like storms off. I'm like, oh God, look, why do you ruin a beautiful moment like that? Oh, bro? Such a
dick, man.
I know. It's like typical Wolverine, but, and then obviously like, he's angry, and that's what leads to the part where he gets beat up by X-24, and it kind of leads towards the end of the movie where Laura drives.
he's dying
and
like Laura, he's just not recovering.
Yeah, and we see this little like green liquid, which is like a serum that, it's like roids.
Yep.
For mutants.
But it's only for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, it's like a stim booster, right? And it allows him to heal from his injuries, and it's obviously like the kids kind of help him out, which I was actually cool to see some of the kids with the mutant abilities. I think some of them were you know, pretty fascinating. Like we've got someone who's like, you know, had like Iceman,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can't think of the other ones that reminded me of the different other mutants, but like the one dude, I think it was a girl mutant, like raised this dude up and all like the sticks from like the trees, like flying like super fast, like a tornado, and just impaled him. Like that was kind of brutal. The Ice Kid freezes the dude's arm and then like breaks it
shatters
off.
It. Shatters it. Oh, dude, that's gotta hurt too, man.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
I love that though, when he wakes up, like when they get there, mm-hmm. wakes up and his beard is shaved into
just like the same thing.
Yeah, Wolverine.
The typical Wolverine beard.
It's
yeah.
It's like, oh, let's go.
Yeah. And obviously like when he wakes up and he realizes what's going on, and which leads into one of my other, you know, favorite parts in the movie, where he takes a serum and he goes, you know, on this old man berserker rage, which we've seen the part when he's in the studio recording for that.
Yeah, there's a catch to it. It's like you can't do as much as he did, and then he did as much as he wasn't supposed to do. Yeah. So we know he's gonna die.
He overexhausted himself.
Yeah, but you hear him in the rage, like fuel through his body, and you're just like, then you just hear him running through the woods, and you're like, oh my god, everyone's gonna die.
Yeah, I love seeing him in the studio, because that's where I think he's just a great actor, for the point of he had to record it on screen, and I'm sure did some audio. But also they're like, now we're going to go back and record this in the studio, and just seeing him get into the character while he's got to stand in front of a microphone, he's moving around a little bit, but
he kept having to adjust his headphones.
Yeah. But that's the thing, when he's like swiping around and he's like yelling at the end there of that scene. And then he's like, how was that? And I'm like, how was that? That was bloody amazing. Holy crap, dude. Like, and that's why no one else will ever do better than Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Nobody.
Same thing. Okay, have someone try to come in and do better than Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man and Tony Stark. Not going to happen. So, and not like you're going to have like five different Supermans or Batmans or Spider-Mans. It's like,
but one Flash.
Yeah, well, DC's a mess. Anyway, but yeah, obviously, like, kind of leads to the. I liked it, but it was also very, very sad and emotional when he's getting impaled into the branch, and you're like, you just know, like, he's not going to recover from that. And obviously, like, if you're looking at the end of the movie, you're like, it's almost time. What happens? And you see Laura grab the adamantium bullet, and just the fact that it fit into that gun that she picked up, like, how would you know? Like, obviously that's sort of like a
very convenient
plot armor there. Like,
yeah.
And then like she had one shot and she took off half of X-24's head. But what if she missed? Like, all of them are dead at that point.
Sounds like a new episode of What If in season 3. Like, what if she missed?
What if she missed? X-24 is running rampant, killing everyone. You know, all the kids are dead. Like, it obviously, like, very, very, very terrible. But, yeah, it's like she has to hit. And I mean, look, one for one for Laura.
100%, baby.
It's like, yeah, that's why I don't like guns. But, yeah, like, obviously, the other, you know, touching part too is when she calls him daddy, and he's like, so this is what it feels like. And it's like,
damn,
where's the freaking tissue box? You know, because, I mean, he'd always been, Charles even said it earlier in the movie. He's like, you know, like, this is what it's like to have a life, you know, when you're looking at these families and stuff like that. And he just never really wanted a part of it, you know. And I think during the course of the comics, I want to say, like, he did mention it, but thought it was never going to be for him, you know. And I mean, can't say he didn't try, but then he says, like, everyone in my life always dies.
Yeah.
So it was obviously like, well, it's kind of true, but it's not so much that it's because of him. It's just because of, you know, who they were, you know, being different, being X-Men, you know, being, it's like being a nerd or something like that. You know, you're the ones that got picked on or singled out, segregated, stuff like that. Nope. So, but it, like, the kids escaped, and obviously that was sort of like a setup where I was like, well, maybe we'll see, you know, Laura Kinney as X-23, or, you know, Daphne Keen portraying her, you know, and that was definitely like a part where I was like, man, I was bummed that this was the end. And it's like, it's weird to say, like, that's a, it's like, that was a dislike, but it's like, you always hate when something good comes to an end.
Endgame.
Yeah. I mean, when the MCU was good, so, you know, but when Star Wars was good,
when DC was good for the short period that it was.
Yeah.
So sad.
But what other, do you have any other dislikes about the movie?
I would say the big one is that, which we already talked about, but that it's not in the open addressed what happened to the rest of, you know, the X-Men and mutants worldwide. It's just kind of, eh.
Yeah, I do think it could have been a little bit longer, just to, and not like a whole lot longer. I'm not saying like add an extra 30 minutes onto it, but
even just add it with some dialogue. You know what I mean? Because there is, you have to think about it, and you're more knowledgeable on the X-Men than I am, but there's a lot of powerful ones.
Well,
so what took them all out?
Well, yeah, and I mean, if you're kind of, if you're saying, and again, you know, I just thought of this. You know, they could have addressed it, you know, saying like, on this particular day, as happenstance in the movie, like, he picks up a newspaper or a magazine, and it says, like, you know, anniversary of the terrible tragedy, whatever day, and
something
kind of called it like X day, where, you know, majority of these mutants were all killed, you know, and it could have been like, oh, remembrance of this or whatever. Sort of like when we talk about like when 9/11 always comes by.
Yeah.
It's like, never forget. They could have done something like that in the movie, that like you picks up and maybe Charles kind of sees him reading it and like kind of sets off Charles a little bit.
No, yeah, like there's some dialogue.
He kind of just starts ranting off, like, we'll always remember them, you know, we'll see them again, Wolverine, you know, stuff like that, where they could have just added it with some simple dialogue. And it's not to say like that takes away from the focus of Wolverine, or, but it's like, you kind of, I think, not that you don't feel bad for him anyway, but you understand like more, as a heavier weight that he's had to go through, where he's, you know, of how many people he's lost. And obviously you can already surmise of the people that he's lost, but it's like how it happened. It's like, it's not just like just that it happened, but how it happened.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people died in World War I too. Well, yes, we know that, but how? Well, you ever heard of Normandy or Pearl Harbor? Like, oh, when you hear about it, you're like, that's tragic.
Yeah,
you know,
it just paints the picture a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah. It just adds volume, and again, it adds weight to the date.
Yep.
But
that's really honestly my one.
Like, yeah, yeah. And again, like, it's not like it's like a, it ruins the movie, like terrible rating sort of thing. It's just, you know, again, we're applying some critiques to the overall plot. That's why this show, in this episode, that's why this podcast is called The Plot Strikes Back. We got to add some strikes in there.
And we got to talk about the plot.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, there's no coming back. Boom, baby. So what would you rate Logan?
I give Logan... You might judge me. I give Logan a 92%.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's funny because I gave it a 92% as well.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you would have gone a little bit higher, honestly.
No, I don't think it's... I think maybe back in the day when it first came out, I think I might have had a higher rating to it. But I think now that I've had time to digest it and look at it again, maybe with, you know, seemingly fresh pair of eyes, and maybe apply a little bit more analyzation to it, I've kind of looked at it a little bit differently. Like, you know, in hindsight, why didn't they do this, or why did they make these decisions? And, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not even going to get into the source material type of stuff, because obviously we touched on a little bit, but and maybe at the time I didn't really think too much of it, like 7 years ago, but I don't know really what other people kind of think to it. I think majority of people out there enjoyed Logan. I don't really know anyone, you know, personally speaking, I don't know anyone that said like, oh, it was terrible, or like, I didn't enjoy it. Cause it's like,
yeah.
How?
Yeah. I think the general consensus is that it's really good.
Yeah. You know? It is a good movie. And then honestly, like, it's funny because now that we're getting Deadpool 3 in a few months here,
can't wait.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Like, literally what happens. You know, we know that movie's going to do well. We know it's rated R. It'll probably be the top grossing rated R movie of all time. And
I can't wait.
On top of that, it's just like, it's sort of it's like, does that mean that Logan never happened?
Unless it's in some different universe.
Sure.
Which is the easy way out, but it makes the most sense just to do a different universe.
Yeah. 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 I mean, unless they do go like, no, this is, he takes him out from the year 2004 or 5 or something like that. But the only problem is that in the original X-Men Fox movies, they never wore
the yellow suit.
So yeah. It's like, it has to be a different universe.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think it would be funny though if Deadpool starts to go a little crazy and just pops into the universe and pays his respects to the Logan.
Yeah.
X, you know.
The other thing about, then we'll just kind of say this before we end it. The other quick thing I thought of after I watched it was, well, there's a rumor that Daphne Keene is going to be in Deadpool 3.
I did hear that.
If she is, which would be awesome, but I hope they don't like just include her and like kill her off, because that would be terrible.
Oh, that would suck, dude.
But it would be cool if Wolverine and Laura already know each other. You know, it's like, because it's like, if they know, like, you're my biological father, like, and I'm in the same universe as, you know, X-23, then...
That'd be cool.
That'd be kind of, yeah, exactly. So, we'll see. We won't really get into the spoilers or potential rumors of that movie.
Yeah.
You know.
That one's going to be a great one.
Maybe we'll do a little blurb episode if we get another trailer. That's a little bit more revealing, and then we'll kind of start like a huge speculation and
we'll have to
make up our own theories and rumors.
We'll have to get a new one.
Yeah. I imagine probably get one like a month or two.
Yeah. Probably say April or May.
Yeah.
Honestly, maybe even June.
Yeah. Maybe like a month before it comes out. I could see that happening. So, but yeah, if you haven't seen Logan after all these years, don't know what you've been doing. You know, obviously, if you're a fan of Hugh Jackman, you've probably seen it. If you have seen it, what would you rate it? Would you give it a 92, a 90, something lower, something higher? You let us know. You can find us on Twitter, I should say. At
X.
Or X. At Plot Strikes Back.
No the.
No the. Yeah, there's no the Plot Strikes Back at Twitter. It's just Plot Strikes Back. And then, yeah. just at us and be like, hey, I give Logan this score, you know, and fill in the blank and go from there. So,
or if you would like to, we'll always throw out the invite. You can debate us on why this movie is ranked at where we ranked it.
Yes.
We always like that.
Indeed. So definitely go see if you haven't. If you can watch it in the noir black and white version.
Oh, yes. Watch it.
It's great. It definitely fits the Western mold.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but anyway, that'll do it for us here. Stay tuned for more movies. I think we got some fun ones planned. Maybe a guest or two. We'll just get to stay tuned for that. But
should be pretty exciting.
Yes, definitely, indeed. You won't know what we're covering because we're not going to spoil it.
You'll just have to wait.
You'll just have to be patient. So, yep. Anyway, that'll do it for us here on The Plot.
The Plot.
Strikes Back.
The Plot.
Strikes Back.